This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. I don't preview very often. I'm not very good at teasing. But at 4:30, I have a story that will curl your hair. It is an amazing story that you're going to want to hear because it could affect your family. So either stay with me or tune back in or podcast the 4:30 segment. I promise it is a hair raiser. Our buddy Matt Pauly joins us from Jupiter. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. So let's start out with the Bregman news and get your take on that, and if there's any vibes down in Jupiter about it.
Yeah, so the breaking news here over the last hour or so, today was a day where all the managers and general managers from this side of Florida meet with the media in a large group. So the Marlins are there, the Astros and the Nationals, in addition to the Cardinals. And John Mozeliak has said that Nolan Arenado is the Cardinals' third baseman moving forward. So there's just not anything going on from a trade perspective. This is all connected to what you just referenced. Alex Bregman signs with the Boston Red Sox last night. Seemed like the Red Sox were the final hope for a Arenado deal, at least for now. So that deal is dead. Arenado is a Cardinal. He'll be here this weekend, and the first full squad workout is on Monday.
So as we talked about on the Gas House Gang today, Matt, you, me, and Bernie, pretty much makes it a failed offseason, right? When you come out, and Mo did it multiple times, saying that our top offseason priority is to trade Nolan Arenado. And what was it, the winter meetings? Or no, it was winter warm-up when he said it's priority 1, 2, and 3. Well, it's the only thing that was going to happen this offseason, and it didn't happen, which means nothing has.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's a failure of getting that accomplished, for sure. Now, they did some other things. They let Paul Goldschmidt walk. They didn't pick up options on Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. All that is connected to reducing payroll, and that was one of their goals for the year. So they accomplished those things, even with Arenado's salary still on the books. Everything we've heard recently is that they're in an okay spot from a payroll standpoint. Very boring offseason. It was going to be a boring offseason whether they moved Arenado or not. But to your point, Kevin, they did have one overtly stated goal, and they did not get it done.
So Matt, did Ali talk anything yet? And he may not. I mean, it's early in spring, so there's a good chance that he would put off the line of questioning until much later because things can change. But has he yet talked a bit about what this will mean for basically lineup construction? I mean, with Arenado there, he's going to play every day. He's going to get his 600 plate appearances, which means somebody else is not getting those. And we can kind of figure out, you know, who that is. It all really depends on their willingness to play Lars Nootbaar in center field, right? If they're willing to do that, then there's room probably for the people they want to see the most of. But if they're not willing to do that, it's going to get dicey.
Yeah, I asked him a version of that question today. We didn't get into the minutia of, you know, Newt Barr in center field and things like that. But obviously, people are being impacted by this. For like Nolan Gorman, it's probably impacting you by what position you're going to play. Maybe that's not so much a negative, but that's just it's an impact.
Right.
For Thomas Tejasi, it impacts you on how much you're going to play or even if you're going to be on the team. So that is a negative impact. And he said the biggest thing for players who are being impacted by Arenado being around is to be very honest and to keep the communication going, just to let guys know exactly where they stand and what the plan is going to be. So one thing I like about Marmol is I think he is a very good communicator, and I don't think he doesn't try to make things better than they actually are. So I think everybody who's being impacted by this clearly knows where they stand in the situation.
So what's the likely opening day lineup with Nolan in it?
Well, it depends on what they want to do in center field, but I mean, I think it's Newt Barr in center field. If you want to put out the best run scoring lineup, it's got to be Donovan in left field, and then Newt Barr in center with Walker in right. Gorman's going to be your second baseman on that day in all likelihood. So Burleson's your DH. I guess we'll see what happens behind the plate between Páez and Herrera. But Contreras over at first base. Wynn is your shortstop. Arenado's at third. So that's the way I would build it on day one. We'll see what the Cardinals do.
Opening day, you're going to get a right-hander barring an injury. You'll get Pablo Lopez for the Twins. So, you know, you'll get the normal right-handed lineup. I'll be curious to see if Ollie's going to do a little bit more of the mixing and matching, although he may not have too many opportunities, because I think I would be surprised if the roster, the way that it is now, if nothing changes and nobody's injured and nobody's traded, I would be surprised if Tejasi's on the team on opening day. Nothing against him. I just don't think you can afford to have a good prospect who's 22 years old.
Not playing.
Just playing one game a week, two games a week. I just don't think that's productive.
Yeah, you have to choose one of two things. You have to choose to either give Nolan Gorman his 600 plate appearances, or you have to choose to let Thomas Tejasi play almost every day. Both of those things cannot happen with Nolan Arenado.
Well, they could. They could, but I don't think it will, and I'm sure you'll agree that it won't. Well, you could give a lot less playing time to Alec Burleson.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I know. They like him, so it's not going to happen. But of all these players that we're talking about, he probably has the least upside.
Isn't that amazing that arguably the team's best hitter from last season is the guy that we can talk about as having maybe the least upside, like you just said?
I don't agree that he was their best hitter last year. In fact, I'm kind of a Alec Burleson truther. I think that the team thinks he's more than he really is. He's good, like he's fine, but I wouldn't put it this way. I don't think he's good enough to where I would say he has to play every day at DH against right-handed pitching. And I don't see it with the exit velo numbers. I don't think a 734 OPS is an everyday DH, which is not. He's basically a league average player. Why at a DH? I want better than average. I want somebody good. And I know he hit 21 homers, and I think he can get better, but he's got to stop swinging at everything. He's got to be willing to swing and miss more, take more strikes, and only swing at pitches he can do damage on, and he hasn't shown that willingness.
His righty-lefty splits from last year were terrible, and his final month and a half of the season, no matter who he was facing off against, was terrible. And maybe he just ran into a wall. I don't know. I like Alec Burleson a lot, but I can't really argue with what you just said, Wheels, because, I mean, those underlying numbers that you mentioned, those are the underlying numbers, and they generally tell a story.
Just as an example, so what I'm talking about for people that are looking at me thinking I'm an idiot, and I can get that because you look at it, you know, and he hit 269, which for modern baseball is not bad, right? I mean, you know, 30 years ago it doesn't look great, but now it's actually not bad. And he hit 21 home runs, but he's in the bottom 15% of the league in chasing pitches out of the zone, and he's in the bottom 10, 12, well, he's I think probably about bottom 20% in walk rate. So he doesn't walk, and he swings at pitches he shouldn't, which leads to a lot of soft contact. And when you have below-average bat speed, which he did last year, not by a lot, but a little bit, you don't get away with those things. And I'm not saying he's bad. He's fine. What we saw last year is probably a realistic representation of what Alec Burleson is, which is essentially roughly a league average player. But at DH, I want better than average. I want above average. I want high end. If they're willing to commit to a platoon there, you know, and say he's not going to play against lefties at all, fine. I think you'll get better than average production out of him. I think you get.
You know what I love about this? as the non-expert fan. I think it's great when you and I and Paulie or you and I and Bernie get together, because I realize as a normal fan how much I am governed by my feelings. Because you say, who's your favorite player, Dave? I'd say, Burleson. Yeah. That guy's clutch. Every time he comes up, he gets a hit. And then you hit me with OPS.
I mean, I like the player. I'm just saying that if you're looking at a way to get higher upside players more opportunities, I think Sajacy has a higher upside than Burleson, because I think he can provide similar offense at a more valuable defensive position. So if I think I can find out more by giving him more at-bats, I would be more apt to lean that way. But again, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying that's the only way to go. Because again, Burleson's an established major league player. But let's keep in mind, he's got almost 1,000 plate appearances in the major leagues. He is 275 games played. He's only been worth half of one win above replacement in all of that time.
And
Dave, again, that's only a measure that some people don't like, things like WAR. I get it. I understand it. But I can back it up with actual data about what he's doing at the plate. His defense has not been good, and he's a DH in this scenario. That would be a player that I would sacrifice time for a higher upside player. I would not just cast him aside. I like this player. But again, it's about that balance of how you're going to make this work with Arenado taking up 600 plate appearances.
And Dave, I think you struck something just a moment ago that's really important, because there are all these numbers and we need to look at them and we need to understand them and we need to know the stories that these numbers are telling. But to your point about he's the guy who's clutch, there was definitely a good 2-month stretch of the season last year where Alec Burleson would have been my choice to have up at the plate in a moment where you needed a hit to score runs. So there was that period of time that he was that guy. So some of the stuff you see in the numbers, yeah, some of the stuff you don't see in the numbers, and you got to be willing to look at each of those things.
Yep, and he actually, in certain situations, is the perfect guy up because he doesn't strike out much. So if you need a ball in play, he's definitely a guy that you want in that scenario. And as Matt pointed out earlier, just to be fair, he is a well above average player against right-handed pitching. So then you have to severely limit him against lefties and say, we're just not doing it. We're not testing it out. We're not trying it anymore. Because the only way we can maximize opportunities for other players and maximize your own competitive abilities. Because if you're going to play against left-handed pitching, then I'd much rather have Herrera as my DH in that scenario if you're going to be catching Pajes. Because Herrera is going to crush those guys, as opposed to a guy like Burleson who does not hit lefties and he hasn't shown that he will.
Wills, he has the unique skill set of a guy who swings at everything but doesn't strike out.
Right, right.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, and what it does, though, is it leads to a lot of soft contact. And you look at, like, last year as an example. So April and May, they're fine. He was okay, probably average-ish. June and July, he was phenomenal. And then August was more a little bit above average. And then September was just a disaster. It was bad. But it could be just fatigue. He could have just been run out of gas, whatever. I don't dislike the player. I'm just saying, if we're going to play for the upside in a year of a reset, I'm not sure that Alec Burleson is an upside player for the Cardinals. I think he is what he is, and it's a good player. It's a valuable player. It's somebody who I think is one. You know, earlier today, when Matt and Bernie and I were talking, Dave, we were talking about players that are certainties and how the Cardinals have a lot of ifs and there are only a few players you know. Mm. I think he's a certainty. I think we know he can do certain things. I don't know that it's enough to say I don't want to create other opportunities for other guys who might have bigger upsides.
I'm just so glad that we don't have this level of analytics in radio. Right? Yeah, and someone goes like, I love the DGS. You're like, have you seen their numbers when it comes to teasing a segment?
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. Let's say that the starting, the opening day lineup is what Matt Pauly says it is. The best you can, forgetting what happened last year, take yourself back a year in time. How does this lineup, if that's indeed what it is, compare to last year's opening lineup?
I mean, it's basically the same.
Minus Goldie.
Yeah, and so you're putting, if it's Herrera in there for Goldie, based off what Goldie did last year, that's a step forward, actually. It's a lot of, you know, what is Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker going to do? But I think the lineup, to me, is very similar to last year. And the question is, can they score more runs than they did last year? Because they were terrible last year at scoring runs.
What do you think the swap is, Goldie for Contreras at first?
Defensively?
Both.
Offensively, it's an upgrade. Contreras is a better hitter right now than Goldie is right now. And including last year, the problem for Wilson last year was that he just got hurt from catching. He broke his arm on a backswing and then had the other injury. So a healthy Contreras today is a better hitter than Paul Goldschmidt, in my opinion, by a good bit. And everything from last year would back that up. Defensively, you have to say Goldie's the major upside there because he was already a quality defender. And then when you factor in the experience versus Contreras' inexperience, like Wilson will have some better traits. Wilson has a better arm. He's probably, he's probably still a little bit more athletic today than Paul Goldschmidt was last year. But you can't make up for the thousands and thousands and thousands of times that Goldschmidt did all of the things a first baseman does.
What level of confidence do the two of you have that even if Jordan Walker gets off to a arguably terrible start, that the team sticks with him in right?
Yeah, they're going to. I mean, I guess there's a line of terribleness that you can't cross over, but I don't know what it is. It's his job for a really, really long time.
If it's anything less than 2 or 3 months straight, then they're screwing it up. It's got to be, because the last 2 years you pulled the plug on him when he struggled. And again, understandably, because the team was also struggling. So I get the balance. But this is the year you're supposed to be changing those behaviors.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
425 DGS. So I have a crazy story for you guys at the other side of this break. Stay tuned for that. You're going to want to hear it because it could happen to your family. Rach, what's the best part of your day today?
The best part of my day today was probably having lunch at Asian Arch.
I think we're going to do it again tomorrow with Wheeler.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's go. I know it's good if you guys want to go back the next day.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm fired up. I don't know what I'm going to get, but I'm fired up. Get some good
food.
Let's
go.
Got a 3-minute stairway?
I bet I do. Yeah, I bet I do. Let's do this one. So it was. We can follow up on the AI video with the blank Kanye t-shirt.
It fooled me.
Yeah, that fooled a lot of people. Did you see what Scarlett Johansson had to say about the video?
No.
Well, she said, like, obviously she's against all forms of antisemitism and all that, but her real complaint is people need to start regulating AI. They need to get ahead of this. Like, we cannot keep letting it do this kind of thing without some guardrails, without some regulation. I couldn't tell right away. Now, if you look at it long enough, you can probably see some flaws. Like, there were some frames where, I forget what it was like. Oh, when Woody Allen stood up, I guess he flipped off the camera. Well, you know, AI flipped it off. But you could see, like, he had too many fingers or something like that. Like, there are little things there that if you looked at, but at first glance, you just see it, you're like, that looks real, without any of those people's permissions. Yeah. Should AI be able to use anyone, should any human be able to use AI and use anyone's image without their permission in any way like that? Because I would say no. That should be flat out illegal. You cannot use my image without my permission in a way that I may not have, because this is making a statement. Now, I'm sure a lot of those people agree with that statement, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the point. The point is there are no laws now. They could make it the opposite. And would there not be a need for regulation on that?
Of course.
Why are we so far behind this? Why is it so hard for people in positions of power to realize that this is happening fast? I mean, if you sit back and wait, damage is being done.
For example, in our business, that's what we have to sell.
Right.
Right? Dave is going to tell you where to go to get a good peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
And if you can just create Dave out of AI to tell you to go to Bucky's peanut butter sandwiches, then my monkey's dead.
Yeah. And I think it's got to happen fast. Well, and again, it's a combination of things, right? Because, you know, the deep fake stories were a big deal when they were being used to create sex tapes and they were being used in that way because we can see the obvious negativity there. But these things can be used for a political statement. They can be used to sell a product without your permission.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 437. So I have a crazy ass story to tell you guys. I'm not going to tell you who this is, but it's a family who I'm very close to, know very, very well. And it's not like anything should happen like this to bad people, but these are just some of the best people I know, hardworking, working class people, mom, dad, and a daughter in her 30s who has a couple of kids, so grandkids, really nice people. And the dad is at work. This happened about a month ago. And he gets a call from his daughter, and she is distraught. And she says, "Dad, I had an auto accident, and the people I hit are not letting me go." And at that point, a man takes over the phone and says, "Unfortunately, we're in an auto accident with your daughter, and we have a car full of drugs, and she saw them, and that's not okay. And you need to make it okay, and you need to go to a Wells Fargo or to your bank or wherever it is, and you need to give us this many thousands of dollars. And if you hang up or try to call the police, something bad's going to happen to your daughter." Imagine that happening. And he knows it's his daughter. And so he spends the next 90 minutes. He leaves work. I have to go. There's an emergency. Leaves work. Goes to three or four different grocery stores and places like that. And eventually one of the places thinks there's something crazy going on. And meanwhile, mom gets a notice from the bank saying, "Do you know that thousands of dollars are coming out of your bank account? And it looks hinky to us." So she goes to the bank. She's calling the husband, who's not answering, because if he clicks over, something bad's going to happen to the daughter. So he's freaked out. He's driving from place to place. He's sweating bullets. He's freaking out. Mom's freaking out at the bank. People at the bank are jumping in and saying, you have to go to the police. You have to this. You have to get them involved. Eventually, he's able to click over and talk to the mom. And she says you have to go to the closest police department to you, which happened to be, I think, Kirkwood. And so gets there. And meanwhile, mom calls daughter and daughter answers. And it's not her. Daughter's fine. It is AI. Some crew who's working the area has somehow captured this totally normal person, not a famous person, a totally normal person captured her voice and had it down so perfectly that it fooled her own father, and had the emotion to the voice, had the crazy, oh my God, I'm in trouble, dad, to the point that he, and these are working class people. They can't just take $10,000 out of their bank account and not miss it. And so long story short, the bank is working to get the money back. They told them, we know who you are. Here's everyone in your family. Here's where you live. Here's where you work. We'll come get you. Imagine that. So it turns out it's this crew running scams who are duping normal people's voices and then calling the loved ones and pretending that they've been in a wreck with a drug ring and they need to go get money. And then the same family found out, the police told them, you're the second family this happened to this week. Same scam. And then since then, they found another family that the exact same thing happened, the same MO. Call from a child. I got in a car accident. They had drugs. They're not going to let me go until you pay them $10,000. And this happened to another family they knew, and they got them for $20,000. Crazy. And putting myself in that position, I know about AI. I know that you can spoof people's voices. But if I got a call and it said Phoebe, because it did say the daughter's name, if it said Phoebe, and then I get on the phone and my Phoebe, who I recognize, is hysterical and tells me that these drug dealers are holding her against her will and I need to go to my bank and send them $10,000, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my bank and I'm going to send them $10,000. And if they say, if you click over, we're going to hurt her, I'm 100% doing that. I don't know that I would have the guts, even now knowing this, to just call them on it and say, I'm not going to do it. So the law enforcement's best advice, and you should all do this tonight, is to have like a safe word or a safe phrase. So that if Phoebe really did get in an accident or really is in some sort of trouble, been picked up by the police or something, she can use that word to let me know it's really her. But they said it's so sophisticated that you should write it on a piece of paper and hand it to each other. You shouldn't, and turn your phones off. Because if I were to say, like, if we're a family, and I said, okay, our safe word is jujubes, your phone can hear it, and these guys are so sophisticated, they can pick that up, and they can use that safe word. Is that insane?
Yeah.
And evidently it's happening right here in our region on almost a daily basis. So everyone be warned that if that happens to you and it's exactly that MO, chances are great that it's this crew of scammers. And everyone should tonight get a safe word, get a safe phrase so that everyone in your family knows it and you can be a couple of layers safer from this scam. Does that just curl your hair? Imagine your daughter calling and I'm in trouble and they're going to hurt me. Go get $10,000. And if you call Susan and we know your wife's name, she's working at the library right now, we're going to hurt her. What do you do?
I mean, other than being prepared in advance, there's not much you can do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I have a lot of bad thoughts in my head right now.
Tell me the best you can.
Of what I would do after the fact I found out about that.
Oh, I know.
We're going hunting.
There's no punishment. There's no punishment that's too bad for these people.
No.
Well, I mean, we talked about in the previous segment, you know, you need to regulate AI. I mean, I feel like you should take it as far as this technology should not be able to. It should be blocked from replicating real people's voices from real people's images. I just don't see the point in the average person having access to that kind of technology. Am I wrong? I mean, it just feels like it's just ripe for bad people.
What
to
good
exploit
can come of it?
Good people or yeah, normal
what,
people.
What good can come
of it? I mean, I know that this is not to diminish other forms of fraud or other forms of con games and things like that, But I would tack on an AI tax. That if you are convicted of using AI for these things, it's an extra 10 years.
Like a hate crime.
It's an extra 10 years. Yeah, exactly. Like a hate crime. Because you have to deter some of it. It won't deter everybody. It may not deter anybody at all. But you got to try. Because if you know what you're doing is an extra 10 years or an extra 20 years tacked on to whatever other sentence you might get, you may think twice about it. Maybe not. You may just think I'm never going to get caught. You know, I'm sure that's what most criminals think until they get caught. But it doesn't stop us from having similar precedent for three strikes, you're out, for hate crimes, for whatever.
So how is this family doing now, Dave?
Just traumatized.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, all of them.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, the dad's one of my best buddies, and he's the sweetest guy. And you're running around for 90 minutes thinking that your daughter is being held by a drug ring.
Yeah.
That sticks with you.
It's ridiculous.
Even after you find out that it was a scam, you still lived through those 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's the least of your worries, but maybe you don't get your money back.
Yeah.
Dreamer, you know you are a dreamer. 452 DGS. Someone pointed out that Kendrick Lamar got more rushing yards than the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. He traveled 145 yards during the Super Bowl halftime show, and the Chiefs got 49 yards.
Isn't it crazy that that was like the most watched thing on television ever?
It is.
That Super Bowl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The halftime show.
Especially since it's so controversial and so many people hated it. Like,
they're tuned in for the Super Bowl. They're not tuning in just for the halftime.
Yeah.
But still, that's a major thing. It is funny, though, to me still that the explanation from people is, no, what you don't get is he was really owning Drake. And I'm like, yeah, what you don't get is nobody cares. Like, it's the Super Bowl. We're not here for your little beef. That doesn't make it better.
You think it'll change anything, the way they produce the Super Bowls?
I think it's
Jay-Z that produces them now.
Yeah, it's Rock Nation that does it. Jay-Z's in some troubles lately.
Is he?
He's been accused of sexual assault.
Like Diddy style?
But he's just like not, I don't know. He's being sued for it. And he let out a statement that was like, this is ridiculous and we're going to fight this to the end. And he's just still showing up in public all the time and stuff. It's just interesting how some people, it's like, oh, we're not going to let you on TV anymore. I don't know. We kind of just pick and choose like who we believe. And
yeah.
Do you think it should be like a round robin? A rock band, a country band, a rap band?
It doesn't matter to me in all reality. The bottom line is it should be something that matches the energy and the vibe of the Super Bowl, regardless of what the genre is. It wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt to service all of your fan base occasionally. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, throw in a country, throw in another pop star, throw in rock band here and there. Like, it doesn't have to be every other year or whatever, but you know, do you want to do things for your fan base, or do you only want to do things that for people that don't generally care about football?
Would you expect, given the backlash this year, that they come back with something like country?
They usually respond. I don't know about that, but the NFL usually responds to embarrassment or something that wasn't that great with something big. That doesn't mean it doesn't mean it's necessarily country. It could be, you know, anything, but.
But, I mean, was it an embarrassment? Like I said, the halftime show was
being criticized
as
the embarrassment, not the show itself.
Right, but the halftime itself was like the most viewed thing. More people watched that than watched the actual game, I thought I saw.
Don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know that a lot of your football fans enjoyed it because there are a lot that fall into that demographic of people that like Kendrick Lamar. He's wildly popular. But a lot of people who do like Kendrick Lamar thought, a little boring. Well, you know,
you had it coming to you. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.